I'm now going to speak to Rob Beale of Morris Owen, accountancy firm based in Old Town in Swindon. Rob, are you okay?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. Thanks very much for your time. It's very prudent to talk to you just now, as there's been some latest economic figures have just been published. Let's start with probably the headline one that's probably hitting people the most, and that's the inflation figure. Not just the current level, but the forecast that it may well reach 7% soon. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what you've got to consider is the inflation figure is purely a measure of how prices are increasing. What it doesn't take into account then is people's disposable income also reducing because of, for example, the increases that we're going to start to see coming through with the national insurance. And therefore, whilst inflation is high, when you factor into account the reduction of their income, actually the real squeeze on people's ability to pay their bills, etc., is higher than those headlines. And I think, you know, we're going to go through a period, we've been through historically a period of austerity, but you start to be concerned that what we're going to see going forwards is people are going to find it very difficult. And unfortunately, it's always disproportionate on the lower earners that are going to struggle even more than anyone else.
Yeah. What are the key drivers of that inflation at the moment, Rob?
I think a lot of it is demand-led inflation at this point in time. You know, we went through the lockdown, not just in the UK, but in the world, that all countries went through. So we saw massive drop in growth or the economy shrinking. We were then in a position where effectively we were all sat there waiting for the ability to start to trade again. And then when we could start to trade, you let the cork out of the bottle. And so there's a massive demand on so many different things that you're then back to the basics of supply and demand. And if there is a shortage of something, either because there's less of it or because more people want it, naturally the price will increase. You know, and I think you take the classic one, that the price of electricity and gas going up, it's because there is such a demand for it and there is a shortage of supply effectively as well.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Is there anything good about inflation going up? Are there any positives for anybody with inflation going up?
I think when you tend to see the positives as a result of inflation, you tend to see it after inflation's back in control again. I think most people at the time, inflation hurts. It hurts your standard of living. It hurts your ability to spend money and those types of things. But if, for example, you look at house price inflation, most people sit there and go, oh, my house has gone up by 5% or whatever it is over a period of time. And actually, that builds confidence to allow them to go and do stuff because they suddenly feel that inflation in the housing market is a good thing. Yeah, counter to that is if you're looking to buy a property, then you start to get concerned from an affordability point of view.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm correct on this. My perception is that prices never used to go down. Things started to go up. But we have seen prices oscillate, particularly, say, fuel, where it's not uncommon over the last, say, 5 years for petrol and diesel to go up in price and down in price. Do you think with this current wave of price increases, we will see prices go back down again, or will they just plateau?
I think some prices will go back down. I think, you know, the reality of life is that prices go up very quickly. They take a lot longer to actually go back down again. Mm-hmm. And certainly if you look at the fuel position and the cost of petrol and diesel and all those types of things, I think it was a number of the organizations, the AA, etc., that actually said, you know, when the price goes up, it changes there and then. But when you look at the basic raw costs of it, actually, there is then quite a lag before those prices start to drop. But I think they will. And I think we will start to see those drops come through.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. So that's inflation. You briefly touched on NI. Can you just explain what the impact is in both an individual and an employer on the NI increases, please?
Yeah, effectively, the rates are going up in order to fund the social care side of it, which means that people will be paying an extra sort of 1.25% And employers are paying an extra 1.25%. So we're seeing, if you like, the cost of employing people going up, as well as real-time impact on people's take-home pay. And I think the impact, therefore, actually kicks in that when employers are looking at pay review time, you're going to have the employee sat there saying, I'm worse off because of NI and inflation's gone up, so I need more money, please. And the employer is going to be sat there saying, yeah, but my wage bill has gone up already just because I've got to pay more NI for employing you. And therefore, that's going to be a difficult one for people to negotiate in terms of looking at wage inflation going forward.
Yeah. Now, the government debated it, didn't they? And they decided that they were going to press on with it. So it is going to happen. Thinking about that bigger picture, logic says to me that if people's taxes are going to go up, and as you just said, employees are going to ask for more money so they've got parity, probably quite a few firms will accede to that, and we might see some wage inflation. To pay for that, businesses will have to put their prices up logically. So doesn't that actually just fuel more inflation?
Yes, I think it does. And that's the concern. I think the governor of the Bank of England or one of the banks said recently, you know, employees should be restrictive in terms of their wage demands, because otherwise it has the knock-on impact to inflation as a whole. But, you know, this increase in national insurance is no different to what we saw when auto enrolment came in and the level of employer and employee contributions into auto enrolment went through. It has an impact for a period of time, but actually once it's been in place for a year or whatever, people forget about it and they just move on back to reality. Mm-hmm. The problem that you've got at the moment is you've got the perfect storm. You've got headline inflation quite high. The reality is, for some people, if you go into the shops, if you look at your fuel bills, if you look at supermarket bills and all of those type of stuff, inflation is actually higher than the headline figures, and potentially they're getting hit with more tax to pay or more national insurance to pay. You know, it's going to be a painful period.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one final point on the economic news. There was a radio program on Radio 4 the other week that said the following three statements were all true. The UK's rate of growth is the best of the G7 countries. The UK's rate of growth is the worst of the G7 countries. And finally, the rate of UK growth is indifferent. How do you explain that, Rob?
I guess the way that I would explain it is, as well as being accountants, we're independent financial advisors. And what used to happen with financial advisors talking about the performance of any type of investment was they used to choose the timeline to explain how well that investment had done. So, for example, if something had done really well in the last 2 years, they'd tell you this massive growth that had happened over the course of the last 2 years. They wouldn't tell you that it tanked the previous 2 years, and therefore, if you looked at a timeline of 4 years, actually the performance was fairly mediocre. And I think the quote that you're taking fits that same bill. You know, if you look at growth in the UK over the course of the last 12 months, it was 7.5% or whatever the case is, which sounds fantastic. If you take it over a two-year period, well, there was a drop of 9.4% before that. Then you're getting a growth of 7.5%. So you start to average those two out and you go, actually, so there's still a bit of a drop. And therefore, what you've got to do to really understand these is not just understand the headline of X percent growth or drop, but it's also over what period and what's a sensible comparative period for other countries. Because it may be that we got the vaccine out quicker, and as a result of that, our economic growth looks better than another country. You then compare their growth over perhaps a two-year period to ours, where they've got their vaccination program out as well, and actually they're performing better than we are. So I think it's the horizon that matters, not the headline.
Very good comment. Rob Beale, Maurice Owen, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks.